The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, the Baltimore Ravens completely trucked over the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football. The final score doesn't say so, but I mean, it was pretty much all Baltimore from like the second quarter on, and I mean, they were dominating. So let's get right into it. The Baltimore Ravens were at the Los Angeles Chargers. They did get the win 30-23, and it was just complete domination by this Baltimore Ravens offense, as they have been all season long. Derrick Henry had an easy 140 yards. And by easy, I'm just like saying, I remember when I was looking at the stat line, when I was getting the stats and stuff ready for the show, I was like, shit, he had 140 yards. It doesn't feel like he had 140 yards, but he did. And I mean, he was trucking through them. And then Lamar Jackson, he started off the game terrible. It was looking like not a good game for him at all. And then he was like, no, I'm going to be fine. And he actually had an extremely efficient night, going 16 for 22, 177 yards and two touchdowns. And it was just complete domination. And then also the Ravens defense really kept the Chargers offense in check for the most part. Part of that is J.K. Dobbins did get injured in the second quarter, I believe. I know he got injured kind of relatively early in the game. And once he went out, you kind of knew that was going to be an issue, just because Dobbins has been really shouldering the load with the offense this year. So they kind of had their moments. It wasn't the worst game of all time from the Chargers. And honestly, I was kind of expecting it, just because they were on a three-game winning streak. And the Ravens, to me, are a better team than them. And they showed why. At least at this point in the season, they are. But, I mean, the Chargers, they were pretty much held in check the entire game. They kind of made a little go for it towards the end of the game, but pretty much this game was dominated by the Ravens from start to finish. Well, from second quarter to finish. All right, let's get right into the Top 10 NFL Power Rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of changes, as a matter of fact. It's pretty much the same usual suspects, just with a couple of teams moving up and down a bit. So beginning with number one is the Detroit Lions, of course, because they're 10-1. They're still rolling. It looks like Montgomery, he's been dealing with that shoulder injury all week, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be out. And even if he is, they still have Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield. So this Lions team, to me, they're just the best in the league. I mean, they just get the turnovers with the defense. They're getting sacks with the defense. They are just taking care of business offensively, and they are just they're just too good, at least at this point. We'll see what happens if they're able to keep it moving the rest of the way, and they really absolutely have to, because they have Green Bay and Minnesota right up on their ass too. If they start to lose a couple of these games coming up, then you've got those two teams right over your shoulder. And yes, I believe the Lions will absolutely be making the playoffs, but they are in a difficult division, so you don't want to see them going on a little bit of a losing streak here. But I don't really think that's going to happen, because they're pretty much killing everybody right now. Then at number two on my Top 10 NFL Power Rankings are the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 9-2. They are coming off of a bye week this week, so there's really not much to say about this team. They didn't do anything this week, so they just maintained their position. They're one of the top teams in the league, in my opinion. As a matter of fact, I believe they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender, just with the way the offense is exceptionally balanced right now. Josh Allen doesn't have to do everything at this point, and then the defense is just getting better each and every week. So we'll see what the Bills have with the post-Thanksgiving run. Then we have, at number three on my Top 10 NFL Power Rankings, I have the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 8-4. And like I keep talking about this offense, I mean, Lamar Jackson, he is leading the league in passing. He's over 3,000 yards now. He's with passing yards. He's 3,053 to be exact. 27 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. So he is just having another fantastic year. And then Derrick Henry is now second in rushing. Yeah, Saquon Barkley took the lead from him. But Henry, he's still got plenty of stats there with 1,325 yards rushing and 13 touchdowns. But the big eye-popping numbers with the Baltimore Ravens are actually on the offensive side of the ball. They're actually doing things that haven't been done since the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams of the 90s, back in 99, 2000, 2001, in that era. If you don't remember, that was one of the craziest offenses this league has ever seen. And to be putting up numbers like them, it says a lot. And one of the big numbers is the Ravens are actually averaging 7 yards per play on offense, which is just insane. That is just an insane amount of yardage, because you're pretty much getting a first down right off the bat. And even if you don't, it's like you only have a couple more yards to go. And when you have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson back there capable of getting those 3 yards, it really just makes life a lot easier for the Baltimore Ravens. But we'll see. They have definitely had their downs with these 4 losses. It's just because that secondary, it's just so weird. The Baltimore Ravens secondary has just had its issues, but they've also been, you know, Marlon Humphrey, he's in their secondary, and he's got 5 interceptions on the season. So the guy is balling, but it's just they've really been blown up a couple of times, and especially in those 4 losses. So we'll see if the Ravens are able to kind of just maintain it now the rest of the way, because the Steelers, they're only a game behind the Steelers, but the Steelers are still above them and have beat them already. Then at number 4 in my top 10 NFL power rankings, fallen a bit, are the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 10-1, but they just, they did not look good against the Carolina Panthers. You know, I felt like they're a very shaky team. They don't play consistent football. It's pretty much Patrick Mahomes on offense, and then the defense has been carrying them. But their secondary has actually fallen apart these last 2 games. They've been getting blown up, and the Kansas City Chiefs should not be playing a close game against the Carolina Panthers, because they should be a lot, especially because the Chiefs were kicking their ass to start. But then they let the Panthers get right back in it. And Bryce Young was really tearing apart the secondary. So we'll see if that's something that hampers them throughout the rest of the season. But I just don't think the Chiefs are that good, especially with the AFC, when you have Buffalo and Baltimore and just a bunch of teams in there that I think are better than them. And then even in the NFC, it's like Detroit. I think Detroit would actually easily beat the Chiefs. I don't even really think it would be that close if they face each other in the Super Bowl, but you never know what's going to happen. The Chiefs are still the Chiefs, and they still keep getting wins because they do make the smart plays in the end, but who knows if that's going to be a problem once you get to the playoffs. But so far, they're living on a prayer, and it's working out for them. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that has skyrocketed up. I had them at 10 last week because I haven't really believed in them. I still don't really believe in them, but I mean, they're 9-2 and they're dominating, and they are on a 5-game winning streak, I believe, 6-game, a really long winning streak at least right now. And that is the Philadelphia Eagles. They're 9-2 on the season. And of course, as I just mentioned, Saquon Barkley, he leads the league in rushing with 1,392 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. But he's really carrying this team. As a matter of fact, to me, Saquon Barkley is now the lead for MVP. I really do like what Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are doing, and they both are carrying their teams as well. You know, Lamar Jackson has Derrick Henry back there with him. And Josh Allen, you can't really make an argument against him, but I mean, Saquon really is, he is the offense for this already really solid offense. But he's just doing things this year that I kind of feel like just are putting him above everybody else. And it would be nice to see a running back, even if it is Saquon who plays for the Eagles, win this award. But there is still plenty of football left to go, and who knows what's going to happen. But he definitely is just, he's just making big play after big play, and really is a huge reason why the Eagles are 9-2. Because I feel like if the Eagles didn't have Saquon, they'd probably be like a 6-win team right now, or like a 7-5 team. I don't think they would be actually as good as they are without Saquon Barkley. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Minnesota Vikings. Overall record of 9-2. This defense is just lights out. They've got 16 interceptions on the season and 38 sacks. The 16 interceptions actually leads the league in interceptions. So, I mean, they have no issues turning the ball over, and they are just killing it this year defensively. And then Sam Darnold, he's finding new weapons each and every week. They got Hockenson back. He's been injured for the majority of the season. He's been back, I believe, the last 2 games, the last game for sure. he actually made an impact. So they don't have to rely completely on Jefferson. And then, of course, Aaron Jones has had a quietly dominant season. I mean, he's one of the top running backs in the league. It's just, it kind of feels like everybody else is scoring points and everybody else is doing a lot for this Minnesota offense. But Aaron Jones, it kind of feels like it's not getting a lot of attention, which he's probably fine with. But I mean, he's having an excellent season and he's making a huge difference for this Minnesota Vikings offense. But Sam Darnold, he's had a good couple of games as well. It's just his issues are the turnovers, especially in the red zone. But, you know, he's cleaned that up these last couple of games, and we'll see if he's able to continue that the rest of the way. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 8-3. Another great running back this year is Josh Jacobs. For the Packers, he's got 944 yards on the season already, so he's almost about to hit that 1,000-yard mark. He's got 7 touchdowns as well, and he's really, I mean, especially this last game against the Niners, he had 3 touchdowns and really was just gashing them, and he's been keeping them above water in some games, their heads above water in some games, and he just keeps it plugging away and keeps on chugging, and he's just been a huge source of offense for them, especially because Jordan Love, while he's had a good season as well, I don't think his receivers are as reliable. As a matter of fact, even in this last game, they had a couple of drop passes where you're like, man, that just really sucks. If Jordan Love had just even one top-tier receiver like a Ja'Marr Chase or a C.D. Lamb, man, this Green Bay Packers team would probably be right up there with the Detroit Lions, probably at about 10-1 or 9-2 in that range. I mean, not that 8-3 is terrible, but it's just, I kind of feel like if they had like a number one receiver, they would probably be the best team in the league. Because defensively, too, they are having no issues getting turnovers. They are having no issues getting at the quarterback, and they are just a really good, really well-run team as well. Their coaching staff is excellent, and I just have a lot of respect for this Green Bay Packers team. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that took a pretty far crash this week, the Pittsburgh Steelers, overall record of 8-3. I mean, they did lose to the Cleveland Browns, and yes, that is a division rival, but still, the Browns are a terrible team. And it really wasn't even a close game. And as I keep saying with the Steelers, it's their offense that is the problem. And not only is it just the offense can't really, they're not really that explosive, but they're also terrible in the red zone, including Russell Wilson. You know, he's had a couple of turnovers in the red zone, and you just can't be doing that. You have to at least be getting those 3 points that are always reliable for the Steelers, but at some point, that is going to cost them. That's why I don't really believe in them as a legit championship contender. I absolutely believe they should be making the playoffs, whether they win their division or just get in at the wild card spot. I think they've built up enough wins at this point that they probably shouldn't lose a playoff spot unless they go on some terrible losing streak right now. But, I mean, it's pretty much just defense for them. Their offense is able to just get over there, and then their kicker is extremely reliable and usually gets them the 3 points. So it's just when you play that type of football, you're probably not going to win a championship, but hell, who knows? Their defense is that good, but their offense is that terrible. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, another team that just keeps falling, the Houston Texans, overall record of 7-5, and this offense just has huge problems. I keep talking about the offensive line and just how they're making C.J. Stroud's life just hell right now. And C.J. Stroud, he's getting up there in the interceptions. He has more interceptions than he did last year, and that was pretty much his thing was last year he was just taking care of the ball and not really turning it over. But this year he really actually has no choice because he's running for his life, can't really set his feet, can't really make his reads because he's about to get hit by the defender, and then he just tosses the ball up, and then it gets intercepted. So it hasn't really looked too good for him. And then also you've got Joe Mixon, who's been having an amazing season so far. But even so, I feel like that's kind of getting overshadowed by how terrible this offensive line has been playing so far. And it sucks because Houston actually does have quite a few receivers, even though they've had to battle through the injuries throughout the season. They still have really a lot of great playmakers. It's just that this offensive line does not give C.J. Stroud enough time. And here we are at Thanksgiving, and they are struggling, and you want to get back on the winning side of things, and I'm sure they're still absolutely going to win this division just because the division is terrible, and they are obviously the best team in the division, but you never know what can happen in the next month of football. Then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. Overall record of 7-4. Yes, they're coming off of the loss, but I still think they're a damn good team, especially because I feel like Herbert is just getting more and more in sync in this offense. The drop passes are becoming a liability for them. Quentin Johnston, he dropped like 3 big passes in this last game, and they were terrible too. They were like, dude, that would have been a first down type passes that he dropped. And then also this J.K. Dobbins injury is probably going to be an issue for them. They definitely need him back to make a playoff run because he's been the most consistent player on the team all season. So this injury, we'll see what happens with them. But defensively, they are solid. They've got 35 sacks on the season, 6 forced fumbles, and 9 interceptions. So they're really getting it done defensively. They're really shutting down the big-name receivers. And, really, they did get trucked by the Ravens, but everybody's getting trucked by the Ravens for the most part this year. And, that's just going to happen at times. But overall, I think the Chargers are still a good team, and they're probably going to continue to get better as the season goes on. All right, so it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, so we have 3 games on tap for our Thanksgiving Day games. Of course, we've got the 2 usual suspects, the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, and then, of course, we get the 3rd game that they've thrown in there, which is always a random team. So let's get started with the first game on Thanksgiving is going to be the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 10.5-point favorite. That is how good the Lions are this year, that we basically expect them to blow everybody out of the water. And even though I say watch out for the division matchups, the Chicago Bears, in my opinion, don't match up well with the Lions. I feel like the Lions are going to push them around on the offensive line. I think their defense is going to push them around on the defensive line. I feel like their secondary is going to shut it down, and I kind of feel like it's just going to be one of those wonky days for Caleb Williams, where he's just running around and tossing up stupid passes. And Detroit, they are not the team you want to do that against, because they're fully capable of not only getting the interception, but running it back for a touchdown. So I just kind of feel like this is going to be not a typical Detroit Lions game, because, you know, Thanksgiving, when we see the Lions, it's usually, oh God, it's the Lions. And they usually get their ass beat, and it's usually just a terrible game from them. It's actually very rare when it's like a absolute demolition by the Detroit Lions. I feel like that's what this is going to be this year. I think the Detroit Lions are going to roll over the Chicago Bears 38-20. Then the second game on Thanksgiving is the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. It looks like the Giants have more quarterback issues. Tommy DeVito, he has an injured arm. I think it's his forearm, his wrist, something of that nature. So there's a possibility he's not going to play. Looks like it's going to be Drew Locke. So that is now their 3rd quarterback of the season. But I don't think it really matters for the Giants, because the Giants are probably, it's difficult to decipher who's the worst team in the league. There's probably about 5 candidates who could be considered the worst team in the league, and the Giants are most certainly one of them. I mean, they aren't good really on any level other than the defensive side of the ball. As a matter of fact, it's really shocking. They lead the league in sacks, and they're excellent at taking the ball away, but it's just their defense is on the field too much. That's probably why they have so many sacks. But their offense is terrible, other than Neighbors, who is not really happy so far. I mean, I don't know who's happy on this Giants team, because they've had such a terrible year. And it's not like the Cowboys have had any better of a year. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked or surprised if the Cowboys lay an egg in this one. But since we do own the New York Giants, we are coming into this game actually feeling ourselves, because we did have a pretty solid game in the last game. So I actually think the Cowboys are, not only do I think the Cowboys are going to win, but I actually think it's going to be a pretty solid win for them. I've got the Cowboys winning 28-10. Also of note, it looks like Cooper Rush has been nursing an injury, quarterback of the Cowboys. So it's possible they might be on their 3rd quarterback as well with Trey Lance. It doesn't sound like it. They didn't announce that he's not playing tomorrow, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the deal. But I do think the Cowboys are actually going to have a pretty decent day. But like I said, would not be shocked if they lay an egg. And then the last game we have is the Miami Dolphins at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. The Dolphins are terrible in these cold games. And tomorrow in Green Bay, it's supposed to be about 30 degrees with snow flurries throughout the game. So, and Tua Tagovailoa, he's kind of the main reason why this Miami team does not play well in cold weather games. I mean, last year they played in Kansas City in one of the coldest games on record. in NFL history, and they were exceptionally ineffective. They had another game a couple years ago where they had to go to Buffalo, and it was basically the same thing where it was freezing cold, snow, ice. They weren't really able to get anything going, and so that's kind of their MO is in these really cold games. They're terrible, and I pretty much expect that to continue. And even if it wasn't going to be that freezing, I still was leaning towards Green Bay because I think they're the much better team. They're actually a legit squad, where the Miami Dolphins, they have a solid offense, but other than that, they're not a really good team. And I wasn't expecting them to do anything. Yes, they're on a three-game winning streak right now, but they've also played shit teams. And so now they're actually playing a legit team. And so I think they're going to come back down to earth this weekend and lose hard. I've got the Green Bay Packers absolutely obliterating the Miami Dolphins 31-13. Like I said, I just feel like the Packers offensively are head and shoulders above them. Defensively, I feel like we're going to have turnovers, and I just don't think it's going to be a good game from Miami at all. So there you go. I believe all three games tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day are going to be blowouts. So enjoy that, y'all. I will if the Cowboys win, because that's all I care about. All right, so let's get to the college football playoff rankings. We are almost done here. This is going to be actually the last week of the regular season, and then we have the conference championship matchups next weekend, and then we get started with the college football playoff, the first time where we have 12 teams going up against each other. So let's talk about the top 12 college football playoff rankings this week. Not a lot of movement, especially at the top four. We still have Oregon at number one. They are 11-0 on the season. They just got by Wisconsin last week, 16-13. And they will be playing the University of Washington this weekend. Then at number two, we still have Ohio State. They're 10-1 on the season. They demolished Indiana 38-15, and they will be playing their rivals Michigan this weekend. Then at number three, we have the Texas Longhorns. They are 10-1 on the season. They took out Kentucky 31-14, and they finally have we haven't played Texas A&M in about 14, 15 years now. Used to be a huge in-state rivalry, still technically is, even though they don't play. Now that we're in the SEC, we get to play Texas A&M again. And not only that, Texas A&M is ranked 20th. So it's actually going to be a good matchup. And I really hope the Longhorns do not overlook Texas A&M this weekend, because it's going to be a big stinker if we lose. Because, I mean, what's funny is about this the college football playoff rankings this week, as you'll notice, it's not SEC heavy anymore, because a bunch of these SEC teams have beat each other up, and they actually started falling out of the top 12. Such teams like Ole Miss and Alabama, who we're used to seeing here, but we have a couple of new teams at the bottom here that are potentially going to be making the college football playoff. But the SEC is so loaded that all the teams are beating each other up. And that's what I just hope Texas does not overlook A&M, because I know A&M is going to be bringing it this weekend. That's for sure. Then at number four, we still have Penn State. They are 10-1 on the season. They beat Minnesota this weekend, 26-25, and they will be playing the University of Maryland this weekend. Then at number five, we have Notre Dame, who moved up a spot. They're 10-1 on the season, and they beat Army 49-14. They will be at USC this weekend. Then at number six, we have Miami. They moved up two spots. They're 10-1 on the season. They just beat Wake Forest 42-14. They will be at Syracuse this weekend. Then at number seven, we have Georgia, who moved up three spots. They're 9-2 on the season. They took out UMass 59-21, and they will be playing Georgia Tech this weekend. Then at number seven, we have Tennessee. They moved up three spots. They're 9-2 on the season. They demolished UTEP 56-0. They will be at Vanderbilt this weekend. Then at number nine, we have a newcomer here in the top 12 of the college football rankings. SMU, they moved up four spots. They are 10-1 on the season, and they just obliterated the University of Virginia this week, 33-7, and they will be playing Cal. Then at number 10, we have Indiana, who dropped five spots after their ass-kicking from Ohio State. I mean, it wasn't even close, so that kind of goes to show that Indiana was kind of a bit overrated, but they did get their asses beat 38-15. They will be playing Purdue this weekend. Then at number 11, we have Boise State moving up a spot. They're 10-1 on the season, and they just took out Wyoming 17-13. They will be playing Oregon State this weekend. And then rounding out the college football playoff rankings at number 12, we have Clemson, who's moved up five spots, 9-2 on the season. They just got to win 51-14 over the weekend, and they will be playing their rivals, number 15, South Carolina, this weekend. So we'll see how the rest of the college football playoff shapes up. But, you know, it's about to get crazy here just because we, like I said, this is the last week. There's some big matchups. But then next week is going to be the conference championships, which could really shake some certain things up. And then we'll see who's going in to the college football playoff. All right, y'all, enjoy your Thanksgiving, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.